It is time for the Beltway Blitz. We'll cover the NFL, the Caps after a big win over the Rangers, and the World Series, Major League Baseball with Chelsea Janes, all jammed into one segment. So let's get to it.
We talked to our buddy Nate Davis to go around the National Foosball League. Nate, at this stage, is Detroit the best team in the NFC? And if not, who is?
No, yeah, I think they are, Danny. I mean, they're steamrolling people right now. I don't know what aspect of their offense is absent, aside from the fact that maybe Jared Goff isn't much of a runner, but they're just totally loaded on that side of the ball, and so much so, you know, particularly with as creatively as they get with game plans, that it seems like they're pretty well healed to compensate for the loss of Aiden Hutchinson on the other side, because they're blowing people out. So. They definitely got it going right now.
Would you consider the NFC West still San Francisco's to lose?
I mean, I think it's anybody's to win, Grant. I mean, obviously, all those teams are 4-4 and 3-4, I believe. I mean, I think the Rams are kind of in a really good spot to take off here, getting their receivers back, and they've got more reinforcements on the way with their offensive line. I mean, you can see the effect that it had on Matthew Stafford the other night. You know, we'll see what the 49ers get when Christian McCaffrey comes back. I mean, it's unfortunate that they look pretty loaded in the backfield. I mean, I'd almost consider playing him more slot receiver a little more often, given the problems they have on that side of the ball. But I think it's probably anybody's division to win except Seattle. I don't have a whole lot of belief in that team, but I could see any of the three others going on a run here. But I think I might like the Rams, the best of the three at the moment.
Nate, Denver's won 5 of 6 against some admittedly pretty bad opponents, but still, you do that, and a lot of times you end up in the postseason. Right now, they're the 5 seed in the AFC. Do they make the playoffs?
I'm going to say no. I kind of see what you see, Danny, where they've beaten a lot of bad teams. I mean, I think we'll know a little bit more about them in 2 weeks when they play, you know, at Baltimore this week, at Kansas City the next week. Let's kind of see where they are then. I mean, you know, Bo Nix has done a nice job as a rookie quarterback. I still think he's a bit limited as a passer. Maybe doesn't get the second reads or see open receivers as well as you'd want in a quarterback. So I'm gonna kind of hold back on the enthusiasm of Denver right now. I think I probably like the Chargers a little bit better than if that division's going to send two teams to the playoffs.
The Colts have taken a lot of media blowback for benching Anthony Richardson, a top 5 pick last year. Are you part of that group that's annoyed by that decision?
Annoyed by benching him? I don't know that I would do it the whole year. I think there's something to the fact that you have to do what's best for the team. I mean, we've seen that happen with Carolina. And, I mean, you know, it's at some point you can't invest so much in one person that 52 other guys are paying for that. And particularly when you've got a guy like Joe Flacco, who I think could take that team to the playoffs. I mean, we saw him do it last year. But I mean, there's a part of me that admires Anthony Richardson's honesty throughout this whole process. And I was a little surprised by all the blowback he's gotten from former players and whatnot for being honest. He needed to come out for that play. I mean, I get the optics aren't great. It's not like he asked out on the last drive or something. But, you know, we'll see where this goes. I mean, the other part of this is he does have a lot of development to do. I mean, he's not an accurate or efficient quarterback, but he does have some traits, Cam Newton running ability, that kind of thing that others don't. But I think this is probably the right move for now. I just wouldn't make it a permanent one or at least box myself into that corner right now if I was the Colts.
Nate, I beat the drum pretty thoroughly that Baltimore is a Super Bowl contender, and I still believe that, but there are a couple now losses where you're going, man, what are you doing? And now they've added Deontay Johnson to the mix. Give me kind of state of the union on the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, regrettably, I think I've been with you on this, Danny, and then maybe not with Grant on the Ravens, but I do think that they're the second-best team in AFC. I mean, I'm going to go with the Chiefs as number one until proven otherwise. And I think that I don't know if they needed Deontay Johnson. I mean, there's an element I wonder that if it's keeping keep away from other teams like maybe Houston or somebody else that could really use him. But, I mean, They probably moved down 12 slots in the draft to get him. I mean, I think at that price, you got to make a move like that. You'd like to see them play, obviously, better defense, and you kind of wonder, is there going to be a move coming on that side of the ball? But to me, that's actually the most dangerous offense in the league ahead of Detroit, just because of what Lamar Jackson can provide that really no other quarterback can. But I still think that they're – maybe the best team in the AFC. Certainly a legit Super Bowl team. Flawed, but I think that they can overcome all that.
At by Nate Davis on Twitter. Nate, NFC South, I was moderately impressed by Tampa without Godwin and Evans hanging with Atlanta for much of that game. But they did lose, and that means they're 0-2 against the Falcons and now a game behind them, and that's damaging. They also have the Chiefs and the Niners coming up ahead of their bye. Is it too early to say they're cooked and Atlanta's going to run away with that thing, or do you think it's going to be a two-horse race the whole way?
Yeah, I think too early to say they're cooked, Grant. I mean, they're going to get Mike Evans back on the other side of that bye. Their schedule down the stretch, as you said, Kansas City and San Francisco the next 2 weeks, and obviously some personnel challenges therein. But they've got an opportunity to make a lot of hay on the other side of that Week 11 bye. And they've won a weak division there a number of times, but I think people forget. I mean, this team is made the playoffs 4 years in a row. Obviously, won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady, but I mean, there are guys there that have won a lot of football games even with him gone, and everyone is impressed with Baker's second act here. So yeah, for sure, I would count them out. I'm also not ready to say that Atlanta is good enough to run away with anything. I'd give them the edge, but let's not call that race just yet.
Yeah, and looking at it, just after asking you that, the Falcons have a much tougher remaining schedule. Dallas, Minnesota, looking at games like even the Chargers or Denver, who are over 500. Whereas Tampa, to your point, after their bye week, might have one of the softer schedules in the league, so it might still be alive. Nate, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Okay, take care, guys.
See you, brother. Hit that Capitol sounder, please. My God, that's Vogue's music. Mike Vogel, WashingtonCaps.com. Vogue's, God forbid you hit some traffic yesterday and weren't in your seats in the first 5 minutes. Couple OV goals and some fisticuffs. That was a fun one last night.
It totally was. Yeah. Before the first TV timeout, I think three goals, a pretty good scrap. And within just a couple of minutes of that first TV timeout, there was another goal. Second period was the same thing, like early, just high event hockey, edge of the seat kind of stuff. And, even the third, there were no goals scored other than the empty netter at the end. But I thought, from puck drop to the final horn, it was one of the most compelling and entertaining games you'll ever see. Certainly in the month of October, it felt like it meant more than just, a couple of points in the early season. And I think it did too. These are the guys that bumped the Caps out of the playoffs last year. They didn't make a big deal out of that, but I think deep down that rankles you a little bit, and that they're the team that everyone is picking to win the Metro this year. But for me, the big thing was just rebounding from a loss on Saturday night against Tampa Bay, coming back. The most important thing in the National Hockey League is just not letting losing streaks fester. Keep the points coming in. Points made now, points picked up now are just as important as those in February, March, and April.
Mike, it was great to see you yesterday at the arena, first of all. Good bumping into you.
Second, you too, Grant. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. Second, the McElrath-Rempe fight. First of all, it was tremendous. A couple minutes into the game, literally center ice. I mean, the only thing that would have been better is if they turned the house lights completely off and just had a spotlight right over the middle like a ring for these two heavyweights. That's a big rig, Joby. Him and Rempe. I mean, those two guys going, just exchanging blows. Obviously, McElrath cuts him open, wins the fight. But my question is, I saw a lot of the media saying, oh, this was inevitable. We knew this was coming. What did I missed that memo.
I didn't know it was coming.
They were definitely going to fight. Is it just because Rempe was in the lineup and McElrath likes to fight? Like, I know they fought in the minors. What did I miss?
Well, yeah. So we talked to Big Mac a little bit today after practice, and it turns out they actually sort of planned this thing, and it was Rempe wanted to fight, but this was planned during warmups. They did a little drive by, and Rempe, hey, will you go with me? Kind of a thing. He had been sent down to the American League a couple days ago, and then called right back up. Not sure whether the opposition had anything to do with that or not, but Rempe was the guy who wanted to fight. I think Mac would have been fine just playing the game, and And honestly, you know, that fight came about a minute or a few seconds before Jacob Chychrun went out for the night. So now you got McElrath in the box for 5 minutes, and I don't believe he wound up coming out until the middle of the first, because you can't come out, you know, except at a natural stoppage. So they were essentially down to four defensemen for that period of time as well. So, yeah, it was Rempe's idea. He wanted it. He was looking for apparently to, you know, something to give his team or his coach a jolt, and McElrath being the guy
obliged
that he is.
Well, and he did oblige him, and he beat him in the fight. But also, sure I love did. That guy. You know, they made so many moves, Mike, that there was no room for any of the Hershey Bears really to make the roster, essentially. And he only is here now playing a bunch with the Roy injury and kind of some of the things that happened right there at the end of training camp, preseason, what have you. But he's the longtime captain, I think, of the Hershey Bears. And it's a great story that he's up here, and he obviously doesn't want to go back down.
No, he's a terrific guy, too. You know, everybody loves him. He's won three Calder Cups at the American League level. And, you know, he was drafted in the first round, the 2010 draft. So he's a couple of years older than Tom Wilson. Last night was his 82nd career NHL game. So that's the equivalent of one full season. And this for a guy drafted 10th overall in 2010. His story is an incredible one of will, determination, and perseverance. You know, a lot of lesser guys would have just bagged it, maybe go play in Europe, or just accept their lot and play in the American League. But this guy has really worked diligently to make himself a better hockey player. And look, defensemen develop at a different rate than other players. You know, and typically they say you don't know what you have with a defenseman until he's played a couple hundred games as a pro. So a guy like Martin Fervari is just now getting to that point. And somewhere along the line, 200 games in, the New York Rangers, ironically enough, the team that, you know, he thumped Rempe last night, they're the team that drafted him, and they're the team that decided that they didn't want to hold on to him. So he's, you know, he's had a little bit of a Rand McNally existence since then, but it's great to see. And I hope you guys saw the 4 minute interview with TNT last week after the Philadelphia game. It's just riveting content where he was interviewed by Paul Bissonnette and the TNT panel after the Caps game against Philly last Wednesday night. If you haven't seen it, it's worth seeking out. It's great stuff.
Vokes, thank you as always, man. Have a great week.
You bet. See you guys.
We'll see you, pal. Hit that MLB sounder. That's Chelsea Janes' music of the Washington Post. Covers Major League Baseball. Chelsea, I know there's the World Series going on, but I can't stop thinking about those two jackasses and how light their punishment seems to me for not only interfering. Fan interference, I get. You're trying to catch a ball. The, like, grabbing of the glove and body parts and wrists and then trying to pretend there's some sort of invisible line that Mookie Betts crossed. Like, I want way stricter punishments. Just give me your thoughts on that incident.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I cannot believe how that played out. I mean, and I think, too, like, Mookie didn't make a big deal of it later. You know, he kind of brushed it off. I think if he had been more vocal, maybe it changes. But I think there's some feeling that that's assumed. But when you look at what happened, it wasn't just, like, you know, trying to catch the ball. It was, I mean, it could have really hurt him. And I am stunned at sort of the way it's being talked about, because I think it's a pretty dangerous thing, really. Mm-hmm.
Chelsea, lost amid that controversy was, what a storyline with Volpe, the Yankees fan growing up who hits the Grand Slam, who gets them another day of baseball, and a chance to get back into this series now. I can't believe this. 24 World Series ever where a team's gone up 3-0. Nobody's ever played a sixth game. Only three times has a team avoided a sweep, so the Yankees are the fourth. But there's never been a team that wins two in a row to force a game six. So I'm just kind of curious where you're at on tonight.
I was stunned to learn that, too. You would think at some point that would have happened. I think there's a chance. I really do. I think the stakes are so high pressure-wise for the Dodgers at this point and the Yankees. But in this moment, the Dodgers, that, you know, that win last night was more than one. It was like a win and a half, because now it's Gerrit Cole. You don't really know what you're going to get from Jack Flaherty. you know, you can let Garrett Cole go till his arm falls off, and they probably will. So, you know, I think I think there's a chance, and I think once it gets back to LA, you know, anything's possible.
Yeah, tonight's the key, right? I think I was watching one of the shouty shows inadvertently. It was on just the room I was in. I try to avoid them, but they're shouting, so you can't. And they were legitimately talking about this, Chelsea, and it kind of made sense to me, actually. And I was like, maybe there's something wrong with me. Anyway, the point was, is this a must-win game for the Dodgers? Right, Yankees, obvious, season's over if you don't. But for the Dodgers, to your point, like, if you drop two in a row, it's, you know, the Netflix documentary about the Red Sox just came out. You know what I mean? Like, there's like the ghosts of it maybe in your brain a little bit. Like, do they really need to close this out tonight?
You know, I think there are teams for whom I would say for sure. They were kind of so gritty against the Padres in their division series that I think they have like a little more fight than just kind of falling apart because it got a little harder. That being said, the one thing that's working against them is their relievers are starting to get really tired mm-hmm. and starting to get exposed. And I just don't know if they can count on them to be as good as they have been in the first two series. And you don't know what you're getting with their starters. I mean, any of them. So there's a chance that, you know, that if they go back, the Yankees have a little more juice left, but they're kind of running out of relievers too. So ultimately I think the Dodgers win it, but you know, if they lose tonight, they're going to be in their heads and the pressure is going to be higher than anything they've seen thus far.
Chelsea, excellent with us. Thank you and enjoy the game.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Be good. World Series game 5 is tonight. The Yanks able to avoid the sweep. Let's make this thing a series. Let's go 7. The playoffs were so good, it would have been really anticlimactic if a sweep happened in the World Series.
I'll sign up for anything that doesn't include the Yankees winning the World Series. So okay. if you give me a 6, you give me game 7, whatever, as long as it's like they're not playing like dun, 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 like for the billionth time and everyone has to listen to it and they think the whole league revolves around them, as long as they're deprived of that, like what you want is for that guy that interfered with Mookie Betts last night to be happy. I can't live there.
If the Commanders do fall off in the second half of their season, why did it happen, do you think? What is the issue going to be that leads to them regressing? Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Welcome back. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We'll be with you for 2 more hours until 6:30 on The Fan. We'll blitz the NFC East coming up at 5 o'clock right here on G&D. Commanders, first place, NFC East, 7 weeks running. They are 6-2 as we get ready for week 9 football. We were talking at the start of the show about the fact that they are right now less likely to win the division, according to the ESPN data and the numbers they've churned out, than the Eagles are, a team chasing them in the division with seemingly a tougher remaining schedule. If they cave, if they fall apart, you know, a lot of people think this has been a nice run, but it's not sustainable. If the Commanders fall off in the second half, how do you think it happened and what was the issue? We want to get into that. We can open up the phones, 800-636-1067. Where do you worry about them?
So worry may not be the right word, but this is in the back of my mind. The concern, I would say, right? Doesn't mean that I'm panicked. Doesn't mean I'm changing my behavior, but I'm thinking about this. Second half of Cliff Kingsbury's seasons when he's been in charge of offense. You're hoping that's been fixed. You're hoping that's been ameliorated with his year of personal growth and you know, being away from the game for a little bit, you know, working his way back up to this position, incorporating Anthony Lynn and some other voices, Brian Johnson from Philadelphia and others, that you're avoiding some of those swoons. But there has been a history of teams or other teams, opponents, kind of figuring out what you do, what you like to do, and how you do it, and then a way to counteract it. And then there's no counter to the counter, so to speak. I worry that this offense that has been, by any metric and measure, incredible, exceeding any expectation any reasonable person could have had through 8 weeks, becomes fine or pedestrian or even good at times or decent in spots. And then kind of the magic goes away. Then you're playing more of these, you know, games like you just had, 18-15, and I wouldn't take my chances in those. I'd much rather get in some track meets with teams, the way this offense is built and the way this defense, I think, is starting to round into form. I'll take my chances there. To me, that's the path, is that this offense stops being incredible and starts to slide down the rankings a little bit, whether it's they're found out, whether it's an injury, whether they're tired. I mean, it goes without saying, you lose a couple key people. We know one in particular. It's not going to be the same team. But that's my only, I don't even know what to call it. Concerned that may not even be that strong. It's a, hey, this happened before. That's something I'm mindful of. I'll say that.
I think that's very possible. It's certainly on my list somewhere. It's not near the top of my list. The top of my list as far as concerns about the second half of the season, I guess it's two things to me. If we find out right now somehow they miss the playoffs, which feels like it would be a really, really big letdown. I mean, they are 75 to 80% likely in a lot of places that do this for a living to make the postseason. It would have to be a collapse almost to not get in. But if they fall off massively, Jaden Daniels' health is one of my concerns.
Of course.
Is he not available? Does he get hurt? Is he not able to post week in and week out? Does this rib thing linger to the point where one shot costs him a half or a game and now he's on the sideline? That would be one of my concerns. I think it's a little bit of a cop-out because you could always go with health.
Of course.
But I do think it's different with him because it's a quarterback. There's a durability concern in question. We've been dealing with it off and on already this season. The second thing, though, and this is not injury-related, this is just team construction and performance-related. Can they stop the run? If a team that is good at running the football plays Washington and pounds the football on them, are they going to be able to stop that? If that team is leading or even with them to the point where they don't have to abandon it to play catch-up, which has happened in so many of their games this season. I don't really know why the Bears went away from the run game to the extent that they did. I know they were always on the verge of about to be blown out, but they never really were. It was 9-0, 12-0 forever. You know, if they would have gotten to 19 or 16 or to nothing or something at some point, it would have felt like you've got to get away from what you want to do. But I thought the Bears were able to run the ball. Look at the numbers for DeAndre Swift and what they did. Washington against the run defensively, as much improved as that defense is so far this season, 29th in the NFL at stopping the run. They have gotten to a point where they rank 23rd overall in yards per play, and they're actually 13th in yards per game, which is not a metric I care a lot about. But they are 29th, 5.05 yards per attempt on the ground. Are the Commanders going to be able to stop a team like Detroit in the playoffs when they're running the football? I think about that all the time. Before they get there, though, if you're telling me something's going to go sideways and they're going to lose a bunch of games in the second half, how does it happen? I think they get exposed and just can't stop the run. That's one of my big concerns with this group as it's constructed based on the 8 games we've watched.
Because I don't think I'm concerned about that. I think I'm kind of resigned to that, that they're going to have a weakness against running games.
Well, then that's a reason why it could go sideways for you too in the second half.
Yeah, but I guess my philosophy is different enough where I go, I've seen that. I've seen them give up 181 yards on the ground to Arizona when they scored 14 points. I've seen 15 points against when Chicago ran for a million yards. To me, when they've gotten knocked around, it's when quarterbacks are comfortable slinging it around the yard. See Baltimore, see Tampa.
They were way ahead in both of those two games. Those yards came early. Those teams got away from that and abandoned it and threw basically for the second half of the game.
Baltimore and Tampa? Or are you talking about the other two?
The two that you
referenced, they ran a ton?
Yes. They ran for a lot of yards, but they were down. The Cardinals, the game was 31-14 or whatever it was. The entire fourth quarter was a wash. Nobody was on the field anymore. I mean, those teams came out and ran the ball and had success. The problem was turnover here, sack there, whatever it was. The Commanders were out in front. And I think that's a bad football team, right? The Bears are much better. But same thing where I don't think it was ever a blowout, but both of those teams kind of went away from it. The Bears went a couple drives where Swift was a non-factor, and they were going 3-and-out throwing the football. I just wonder, Steelers with Najee Harris, who's been doing it.
You know they're going to try it, yeah.
There are teams that are going to line up and do that. Can they stop it? Your point is no, and that's okay.
Pretty much. I mean, to me, a run is, you could be successful at that. I'll take my chances there. Like, I would much rather have a team settle for 5-7 than some of the big plays I've seen against them in the passing game. And that's been cleaned up to a degree of late. You get a non-Baltimore division. But I will take a team settling for some power runs and some good first down yardage, et cetera, rather than shot plays or, you know, stuff that's, you know, designed up. Or Caleb Williams scrambling, I think, was more devastating for the most part until DeAndre Swift ripped off that one long run for a touchdown. So to me, it's a compromise. Like, I don't think his defense is good. Like, the best ones can stop everything. There aren't that many of those, to be honest with you. Even ones that we think of as really good. Pittsburgh's excellent. The Giants moved the ball against them this past Monday. Kansas City's really good. The Raiders did what they wanted for the most part in that game. I don't think we've got a 2000 Ravens, 85 Bears in this game. The modern NFL really doesn't allow for that, I would say, to that degree. So Washington is kind of we're going to try to pick one to take away. And against an offense that's anything less than excellent, I think they can now. So I think they've picked no big plays in the past game.
I'm not sure if I'm ready to say they can. I mean, against a bad offense, maybe.
That's what I mean. So if you're Chicago or above, you're going to get them for something. Like, Baltimore did whatever they wanted. When you took one thing away, Zay Flowers went 9 for a million.
Good offense. Yeah. I think they're in trouble.
But I think they're good enough against a team that's mediocre or below in offense to take something away. And we've seen that.
Yeah, I guess the question in a lot of ways is, what are some of your biggest fears about this team that either have already been exposed but haven't cost them, or haven't been exposed yet and you think could become big issues? So your answer was...
the offense gets figured out. Washington's offense gets figured out to a degree, as Kingsbury's offenses have in the past.
And there's no doubt about it. I mean, if that happens, they're in trouble, and it's possible. I mean, it's something... playing at the level they have all season is going to be hard to sustain anyway, because there's like three offenses in 20 years that have done it.
Yeah.
So we're going to probably claim that they're regressing when just the natural order of things takes over and you don't score at the same rate.
What do you mean they're not scoring 37 a week, which they literally did in weeks 4 through 6?
It's hard to keep doing that. But my thing is not something that I'm worried about happening that hasn't yet. It's something that I've already seen and I don't think's been fully taken advantage of. Like, the underbelly of this team that can be cut open, for one reason or another, teams haven't enough, is I do think that you could come out and just dominate them on the ground and dictate the entire game. Styles make fights. And maybe play their game. Like, take the air out of the football and kind of play a physical ground-and-pound kind of game against them. And I wonder what that looks like. If the Commanders fall off in the second half, why did it happen? How's it going to happen? What do they need to self-scout and get figured out so that that doesn't take place? 800-636-1067. If you'd like to join us on Grant and Danny.
It's a great question, John. I think because of the precise nature that we do to get ready, it does allow you to get right back into it. You know, all the things that we have to do on a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday. And so today we spend so much time on tackling and breaking tackles. And then tomorrow it's into the ball and ball securities and takeaways. Happy New Year. And then after that, on to Friday, you know, winning time moments. So we really work hard at that, John, to make sure the process of the week can take care of all the learning. So it doesn't leave you a lot of time for that. And then also, tell the truth is a big part of it too, because to be a good team, you have to handle the stuff. And the stuff can be a lot of things, from injuries or a big win or anything that comes down the pike. And so handling the stuff, it's something that we talk about with them. I'd rather have the discussion about it than not. And so handling the stuff is part of becoming a good team. And you have to prove you can do that.
That's Dan Quinn earlier today. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back in. Thanks for listening to the program. We're with you until 6:30. We will blitz the division at 5.
So I heard that live, and then I obviously heard the clip. Does anyone else know what the Happy New Year bit is that everybody laughed at? Like, does anyone else understand that? Is anyone in on that joke?
I only know Happy New Year at that facility is what Dan Snyder once said.
We said Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking it was Happy New Year at Thanksgiving. It was Happy Thanksgiving
in
after
February?
The new year.
Yeah, sometime in mid-January.
So I've listened to the clip a couple of times now. I think something went off in the background. I don't know if somebody absolutely popped a cork or something. I don't know. It sounded like something either popped or dropped in the background.
Okay.
And he reacted by saying Happy New Year, and everybody laughed. And
so I thought it was...
ooh, the
like,
popped cork thing's a good idea.
So I didn't have that. I didn't have that data point. But I thought someone like came in late, and he was like, that's how late you are? Like, Happy New Year? Like, this is how delayed you are? I'm trying to figure it out.
That's not bad either. Play the clip again really quickly before we get to the phones. We're talking about areas where the Commanders make you nervous, and there's a chance they regress if they don't fix the problem that you have found. We'll get to that in a moment. But this was audio from today with Dan Quinn.
Tomorrow it's into the ball and ball securities and takeaways. Happy New Year. And then the after that.
I think you're right, Darius.
So now I hear the pop.
Sounds kind of like a pop.
I heard the
I don't
pop.
Think anyone actually did pop a cork. I guess it's possible you have like a. Because somebody's drinking wine or champagne out there.
Unless they're like, this is a great Wednesday press conference. They pop.
Let's text our guy Ben Standig or something and see if.
Yeah, we'll get to the bottom of it.
Because you get sometimes you get like our buddy like a Chris Russell who's got 700 things that he's carrying every step of the way always. And maybe he dropped an object on the ground and you get a sound and you get a Happy New Year.
Let's go to Chuck, who's in Crofton on Grant and Danny. What's up, Chuck? How
hey,
are
Chuck.
You?
G&D, what is going on, gentlemen? Great to talk to you guys again.
Hey, buddy.
Okay, so. I'm definitely with the run game. Yes, I'm somewhat concerned, and it could be me. So I want you guys, also, to tell me if I'm tripping, so to speak. But they seem to be getting better in certain areas in the run game. Seem to be more aggressive, flying at the ball, coming viciously. Honestly, my main concern is, especially if you're in the game against the good teams. When you have these mental errors in the red zone, because honestly, the Bears game should have been put away. The Giants game should have been put away. But now you have the Eagles coming up twice. You have the Cowboys. You have the Steelers. When you get chances, you have to put touchdowns on the board instead of field goals. So more than anything, that's what I'm concerned about if they regress. And without sounding like I'm drinking a Kool-Aid, I just don't think they do. I think this team is for real. Tough games coming up, but I definitely feel like you have to fix those mental errors. That would be, to me personally, the main reason why
things go
sideways.
Yeah,
that's a great one. I mean, honestly, so you think about it this way. 25% of their games, doesn't sound like much, but it's 2 of the 8. They've had that sort of red zone, kind of like whether it's false starts,
nightmare,
couldn't get the play in, kind of nightmare, didn't score touchdowns.
I mean, they're bottom six in the NFL in the red zone.
Yeah, and then against Tampa, it didn't really work, and that game was a blowout. So I almost like discard that. But so 2 of 7, they've had a real struggle there. If there's a regression, maybe you kind of keep that bad pace going. There was a game where they were great in the red zone, and I think probably Arizona game. They're great everywhere. But now you've got enough sample where it becomes like you're a guy that misses free throws, right? Where you've now missed a couple. You're a good shooter, but now you're at the line again. And, oh, no, I missed another one. Oh, I missed. And it snowballs a little bit. Maybe that becomes a thing. I mean, I totally understand that one.
So, yeah, I do too. I mean, that's definitely the bugaboo. It's what we talked about yesterday as the biggest issue kind of facing them coming out of the Bears game that they have to clean up. So it makes sense. I just view their red zone issues as more breakdowns, penalties in the moment that I don't think are linear.
Aren't systemic.
Yeah, I don't think that is some sustainably incompetent area of the team where they're inside the 20, they're at the 16-yard line, so obviously Sam Cosby's going to get downfield. Or, it's first and 10 from the 14, so pretty clearly Austin Eckler's going to start earlier, whatever it is.
Yeah, here comes the hold.
I just think it's what's happened.
Yeah.
Not what will continue to happen, and I'm looking for more sustainable issues based on personnel. Like he mentioned the run game. I think they've shown some signs of life defensively stopping the run, but DeAndre Swift went for $129 and a touchdown for the Bears on 18 carries this past week. So it's not like they've been awesome. I thought they were really, really good against the Panthers, and Chuba Hubbard, who I thought was going to have a lot of success, was one of the leaders in the league in yards per carry when he came to D.C. going back a couple games ago. It's a 40-7 game.
Yeah.
They can't run it that often, and when they do, they can't really commit to it. You mentioned that the Ravens game was kind of a Lamar Jackson show. Derrick Henry ran for $132 and 2 touchdowns in that game.
All in the second half, because they said, okay, we'll stop Zay Flowers, and then they couldn't stop Lamar.
And that was when the game was decided.
Yeah, and that was it.
If they could have gotten a stop on any of those drives, they kept getting the ball, moving, scoring, they would have. The Browns game was another game where I thought they did a pretty good job on the ground. But you go back, Jerome Ford actually averaged about 6 yards per carry. They were just down by 100, so they couldn't keep running it. The Cardinals game, I thought they were pretty good against the Cardinals. James Conner, 18 for $104. Thank God that between him and Kyler Murray, they just eventually had to start passing it because it was 42-14. There's been a couple games all year. I think the Bengals game, feels like they did okay against the run. But then I looked that up. Chase Brown, 7 for 62. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. I actually feel like I would disagree. The numbers suggest that they haven't solved anything with the run game. Let's go to Nate in D.C. on the Fan. What's up, Nate?
Hey, what's up, Grand Danny? How y'all feeling?
Good, pal.
Good.
Good, good, good. I'm basically, when you mentioned the word worry, it reminded me of, you remember Alfred E. Newman from Mad Magazine, What Me Worry? Like, we have 31 new players on our roster, new coaching staff, new owner, new everything, right? We 6-2. Like, we should relax a little bit. Like, at the end of the day, look at it like this. Most of our division games are, like, packed onto the back half of the season. People are so afraid, seemingly, of the Eagles. We swept the Eagles with the worst team not too long ago. So at the end of the day, if the Eagles is the main threat, I'm not really worried about the Cowboys. The Giants, I mean, they are who they are. It could be a trap game, but if it's not, then it is what it is. I think we'll be fine. Like,
okay,
we
but answer
worry.
The question for us kind of on brand, on topic here. If they don't win the division and they take a step back, what do you foresee being the reason why they regress?
The reason why they regress, they lost too much ground in the playoff race. They probably lost to Pittsburgh. They may have lost either both games or split with the Eagles and split with the Cowboys. They may even have lost this trap game coming up with the Giants.
All right, and that's kind of what we're trying to figure out is how do they lose those games? Nobody's panicking, for the record, just to, in case you jumped in during the conversation. I think they're in great shape. I think they're going to win the division. We're doing a self-scout. This is what the team does, right? Mm-hmm. They'll probably focus more on it in their bye week. But you look in the mirror and you go, we're really good. How do we become great? Or, hey, we're really good, and we're lucky that we haven't been exposed in these couple areas that aren't perfect.
Yeah, we've been fortunate here. There's a lot to build on. There's a lot that's been great. Great, by the way. Better than I expected. I'm having a blast. Nobody's saying I want to stop having a blast. This is just a fun little hypothetical. It may not be as much fun for you guys. Sorry, let's put our big boy pants on and have a little conversation. And it's this. If it doesn't continue to go well, what happened? It's pretty simple, right?
Blitz the East. Cowboys, Eagles, Giants. Latest on all three teams in the division. Grant and Danny on the Fan.